I got to warn you this morning, because this is a dangerous lesson. And we have asked for things today in the songs that we have sung, in the scripture that we have read, that we may not be ready for. This lesson today is for you. It's for you sitting here. Okay? And this may be a word that takes us someplace we think we want to be, but maybe we're not ready for. Maybe we're not prepared. Because we just sang together, we confessed. We just asked God to draw us deeper into Him. Steve read the blessing over us from the Apostle Paul, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. So His Spirit is moving, and I pray that your cup is ready to receive. Again, it's a good lesson, and it's a word for you. I'm not talking about the rest of the world this morning. I'm not talking about the lost. Jesus' metaphor that He shares with us is right here. It's for us. And we will ask Him together to be prepared to have our cups hold what He is pouring out. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you make us the people that are prepared for your blessings. I pray, Father, that we really are the people that want to be drawn deeper into you and your love. I pray, Father, that we will no longer be people who look at the cup half empty or half full. I pray, Father, that we lose sight of the cup because you have made it to overflow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the text this morning is John chapter 10. And you know that Jesus says here, I am the good shepherd. And when we think about shepherd, most of us go right to Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything else. He takes care of me. He leads me to good food. He fills my cup. In fact, what does David say about his cup? It overflows. It's so full, it's just spilling out. And he says, I don't want for anything. There is nothing I need outside of God. There is nothing I'm searching for. There is nothing that I desire because God takes such good care of me. So we know this shepherd motif. It's used throughout the Bible as shepherds and sheep and God taking this title. And then we come to John chapter 10. And after he has used himself as the door that the sheep must enter in to find pasture, he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. He'll continue on and says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the first thing I want us to see this morning, church, is the idea of sacrifice and ownership. Sacrifice and ownership. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am willing to lay down my life for the safety, for the good, for the sake of my sheep. Jesus says, I will die for you. And in fact, He has. He has died for us. He has seen the enemy. The enemy is sin. And Jesus laid down His life. He chose to die so that you and I could be safe from sin. And ownership. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am willing to die for you. I am willing to sacrifice everything for you because you are mine. Church, we belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are His. He has purchased us with His blood. He has bought our souls. We're His. We're His. So He compares Himself, and Jesus, of course, is comparing Himself with the religious teachers of the day, the elders of Israel and of the Jews, and saying, look, someone who's just a hired hand, they're going to see the enemy and they're going to run. It's the echo of what Chester read for us back in Ezekiel. What was God's problem with the shepherds in Israel? He said, they're not taking care of the sheep. They're not doing their job. They're not doing their job. So way back in Ezekiel, God says, because the ones I have put in charge are not doing their job, I'm going to act. And I will be their shepherd. I will be the one who protects them. I will be the one who saves them. I will be the one who gives my own life for them. And here in John chapter 10, in the life of Jesus Christ, we see these words fulfilled for us. Now, the second part of this scripture that we see in John chapter 10, we saw sacrifice and ownership, but we also see trust and authority. Church, we put our trust in Jesus Christ for everything. If we have a worry, a problem, a care, an issue, something that we look at and say, well, it's not solved, or it is a thorn in my flesh, or it's a temptation that is getting the best of me, anything that we deem not right or not fixed, we have to trust Jesus with that. We have to give it to Him. We have to lay it down at His feet. We trust Jesus with everything because He has been given authority. And Jesus would say here, in verse 14, I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You know Jesus like Jesus knows the Father. You have been brought through His sacrifice so closely connected that you are now one with Him, just as He is one with the Father. Jesus has made us a part of Him. And this is better. This is better than our parents. This is better than our spouse. This is better than our kids. This is better than our extended family. This is better than our friends. This is better than our boss. This is better than everyone. The connection that Jesus has given, the authority that he has to make us his, and then to promise that he takes care of us. So church, as we come in contact with the Good Shepherd, we all must walk away and ask ourselves the questions, what shall I fear? What can anyone do to me? How can I be hurt or injured when I'm with the Good Shepherd? If Jesus has my life, my soul in his care, where is room for fear? Where is room for worry? Where is room for anything else? He has made my cup to overflow. I'm not leaving anything in my life. I'm not leaving any empty space for anything to get in, because Jesus has filled me up so much that it is him pouring out of me. It's not me going, okay, well, it's Sunday, so, you know, I'll have a shot of Jesus and we'll just, you know, leave the glass empty and see what fills it up next. Well, when you do that, you get in trouble, don't you? Yeah, you and I go out of here and like, okay, we had our Jesus, and oh, there's a problem. Let's put the problem in our cup. Now I got the problem. Now I'm drinking, and what I'm drinking is bitter. And now what I'm facing in life is, it's just got a bad taste. Or now what I am drinking in my cup is fear. All of these things that you and I put in our cup that is not Jesus. And we go around all week and we drink from that cup. And we walk and we live our lives putting something else in there that we are not made to hold. So we are to be overflowing with him in our cup. We are to be overflowing with him loving us and taking care of us and providing for us. And again, our darkened hearts are going to raise an issue. Our darkened hearts are going to argue with us and say, yeah, but this isn't right. You need to worry about that. Or, Lord, hey, I got something I've been worried about. I need to give that to you. Take care of this. Well, he sure is taking a long time. Maybe. But from his perspective, are any of our lives a long time? No. So however long we have to deal with something, is it really a long time? No. But Michael, it hurts, and pain seems to draw time out. Yeah, it does. It does. Physically, our bodies aren't working right. Something's not right. It hurts. It's not fun. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I want to put it down. Put it down. Give it to him. He's going to bring healing or strength to endure. That's what he's going to give. That's what he's going to provide. Let him have it. We have a spiritual issue. Something's broken in our heart. We've been wounded. We've been hurt. We have a problem trusting. Okay, but be careful who you're trusting, because who does he say to trust? Him. Even the best shepherd, the best among us, will hurt us. The best among us will let each other down. You've been let down, I've been let down, and guess what? I have let down. Because I'm not him. I'm not the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. So I will love others, but I will not expect others to be what only he is. In James chapter 1, and I'm not done with John 10, but I just want to read a verse from James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Do not be deceived, beloved brothers." Don't be deceived. I love that. Hey, you don't need to be fooled, okay? Okay, so I need to be diligent. I need to be pay attention. I need to be not led astray. What do I not need to be deceived about? Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Oh, I can't be deceived. If it's good, where does it come from? It comes from Him, right? Yeah. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The ministry of Jesus is from the Father. The Father sent His Son. So when we are talking with others outside and others who are confused and others who are darkened in their own understanding, we have got to stand on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came from the Father. All good things are found in Him, and He has been the gift that the Father has given to us. He comes from above. And by coming, He brings us into His family by the word of truth. All right, let's go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let's go down a few verses in verse 24. So all that Jesus is saying, all of God's people, including the shepherds and everyone that should know, in John chapter 10, verse 24, they finally just say, just be clear with us, okay? Just tell us the truth. And again, throughout Jesus' ministry, what has He done but told them the truth? How do they say it? The Jews gathered around Him and said to Him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, just tell us plainly. If you are Him, if you're the guy, if you're the one from God that we have been waiting for, if it is you, if it really is you, because I would love for it to be you, right? If God promised me a solution to everything in my life, I would love to see that solution. How about you? God says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. Excellent. I want to see it. Hey, I'm going to provide for all of your needs. Fantastic. Where is it? Hey, I'm going to make it to where you have no problems in comparison to all the good that I'm going to give you. I'm ready! Come on! We live like that sometimes, don't we? And we know God's promises. We know His love. We know His care. And from time to time, we're just like these Jews going, Lord, just answer. How long do I have to cry out to You? How long before you fix it? But you and I get focused on the problem, don't we? We look at the problem, we make the problem big, we make an idol out of the problem, and we say, God, I need You to fill this idol. And God's not going to fill our idols. He's going to fill our cup. And when He fills our cup, and you and I are so close to Him and so connected to Him, just like He is connected with the Father, you and I will go through the fire of hell, you and I will face our own cross, and we will trust that He will restore anything broken, bent out of shape, or what we determined was destroyed. Starting to grasp on to the largesse of what Jesus is claiming here. God has filled our cups. He has filled us. Steve, what's the Ephesians 3? The fullness that God has to offer. He fills us with His very own fullness. You can't get fuller than what God fills. You can't. There's no room. There's nothing else because it's His fullness. He is God. He is above everything. Everything is His. And He says, I'm going to fill you with all My fullness. So if you and I are living a life that is less than full, it is not because of Him. It is not because He turned off the spout. It's not because He moved it. Right? You think of the cup being filled. He didn't move the spout. Say, oh, can't be filled. It's over here now. No, he doesn't change. Now, what do you and I do as cups? Well, we're like, hey, we want to be travel cups, right? I mean, mine's not a Stanley, but I have a travel cup. We want to be spiritual travel cups. We just put a lid on it, keep it hot, and I'm going to go, right? So wherever I am then, yeah, I'll just, whenever I need it, oh, it's been a while. Oh, one of the most disappointing things in my entire life is hearing the slosh of coffee. But I waited so long, I take that drink. It's cold. Oh, that breaks my heart. I mean, Monday through Friday, that is a heartbreaker to me. I've been so busy, and I got a little bit more coffee in there. A little more go juice. Here we go. Oh, I did not put iced coffee in there, and now it's cold. But church, you and I do the exact same thing with God. We close the lid, we go live our lives, and then we turn back and we're going to get a drink. Oh yeah, God's going to be there for me. And what I put in there is, it's cold. You know why? Because you and I and our travel mugs have tight lids. What is necessary for a cup to overflow? It's got to be open. It's got to be open. Quit living closed off. Oh, okay, it's Sunday morning, we're singing good, the word is good, I'm excited, I saw everybody I love, and here we go, and I'm going to put my lid on it, and I'm going to go live my week. Till Tuesday. And we take a drink, and what happened? Ugh. Right? Yeah. Or it runs out. Oh, you're just getting that last bit of coffee, that last bit of water. There's nothing there. Why? Because I put the lid on. I capped it off. I shut it off from God being able to overflow and pour into my life. And now all I can do is look around and go, oh, wait a minute, where's my blessings? Where's my blessings? Well, I took my eyes off the one who fills my cup. I made an idol or a false god out of something else. Or I was just chasing other things this week. I just forgot about God. I just forgot that He has taken care of all my problems. I just forgot all of His love and all of His promises. And so now all I'm doing is looking at all my problems and my fears and my pains and my hurts. And now I've elevated all those things and I got an empty cup. It's a good reminder, isn't it? It's a painful reminder, I know. But it's a good reminder. We got to hear it. We got to hear it because the lacking or the emptiness is never Him. It's not Him. It's us. It's us. We either put the lid on and try to live in a travel mug, just enough faith, just enough to get me through the day. That's all I need. And I'm going to keep it nice and safe right here. I'm going to lid it off. Or we don't go back to the source. We don't go back to the source and have our cup filled. Everything that God promises, it's all ours. But we have to come to Him in faith. We have to come to Him in faith. All right, so He does in verse 25. He said, I did tell you. You don't believe. I'm telling you plainly who I am, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You don't believe. And look, church, here's the hard truth. If you don't believe, you're not going to reap the benefits of what God has to offer. Those who belong to the Good Shepherd believe what He says, and we follow Him. We know His voice. Well, of course I know His voice, Michael. I know my Bible. I know His promises. I know His things. Yeah, but I also know the darkness of your heart on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. whether it's a temptation to sin or a hopelessness that wants you to give up, and you're listening to that voice that says, this won't be fixed, this is hopeless, this is awful, this is terrible, this hurts, we're not listening to the voice of our shepherd, because our shepherd says, you have life, you have eternal life, you are loved by your Father in heaven. You are His. He has got you. He will provide for you. He will feed you. He will give you enough to get you through the day. He will guard the gate so that you can get a good night's sleep. And you get up in the morning, He says, okay, time for breakfast and maybe a little coffee. Let's go get it. And all those other voices that are competing with our shepherd, church, you better see yourself as a sheep and you better tune in to the voice of your shepherd, because every other voice is going to hurt you. Every other voice is going to lead you astray. That is eternal life. No one can be stolen out of their capable hands. You can run off. But church, if we stay within earshot of our shepherd, they can't touch you. They can't touch you. What an amazing promise. What an amazing word. What an amazing gift for us, for Him to give to us. All right, let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 34. We're going to wrap it up with Ezekiel. I don't know if anyone has ever said we're going to wrap it up with Ezekiel before, but that's where we're going. That's where we're going, Ezekiel chapter 34. Chester read for us the beginning of the chapter. I was going to stop it at 10, but I didn't want him to be totally sad in his prayer, so we read through 12. We're going to finish it, okay? Because God looks down at His people and says, oh, the people that I put in charge to take care of you, they're not doing their jobs. And so God says, I'm going to do the job. I'm going to do the job myself. So let's pick it up in chapter 13. Ezekiel 34:13. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Okay. Who's the I? Just help me out a little bit. Who's the I? Yeah, the Lord. The Lord says, look, I put people in a position, in a job, and they didn't do it. So God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be their shepherd. I'm going to be the one. This is the language and the connection that we should see in John chapter 10 when Jesus shows up and says, this is it. This is what God promised so many years ago. This is what you've been waiting for. When the people ask Him, okay, come on, if you're the Christ, just tell us. Jesus is saying, I am telling you. You're not listening, but I am telling you. This is it. This is the revelation or the fulfillment of what God promises way back in Ezekiel 34 of, I'm going to show up and I'm going to take care of my sheep and I'm going to feed them and I'm going to lead them, and everything that you love to read and sing that I did for David in Psalm 23, I'm doing it all for you. I'm doing it myself. Therefore, 17. I jumped down to 20. 17. Now, he talks to us. And he's already given the shepherds a hard time, but now he's going to look at you and I. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? He says, look, sheep, I'm giving you everything you need. Quit messing it up for others. I am providing everything that you could possibly want. Leave it in a good state and realize when you look to your left and to your right, I care about those sheep too. So I want you to care about those sheep too. All right? It's the same thing. What did Jesus say? The greatest commandments. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? God gave you a wonderful gift. Awesome. Hey, there's another sheep. They might want some of that wonderful gift. It's not just for me. It's for you. And so we don't just go through our life going, well, as long as I got mine, everything is good. I'm a fat and happy sheep because I'm well fed and I got a great bed to sleep in. But, oh yeah, there's other sheep. Look out for the other sheep. Okay? So, he does call us to live a certain way. And then in verse 20, therefore thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust all of the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them, okay, here it comes. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant, you see it? David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Okay, just so this is absolutely clear, does anyone have any idea how many years after David lived his life that this book was written? 300 to 400. So what is God saying? What is God saying? He's pointing to Jesus. This is after David, right? You remember when they came to, Jesus and they said, hey, which prophet was John? Help me out. I just went blank. Which Old Testament prophet was John? Thank you. They're like, hey, didn't God say Elijah had to come? And Jesus said, yeah, he did. Remember John? Yeah, that is one of these. And so God says, I'm going to send you a prince. I'm going to send a king over you. David. Why David? Well, David, through all of his faults, even though there was some bad in the box, was a man after God's own heart. And he was God's true chosen prince. We call it king, but God says prince. He says, I'm sending David, and David will be their shepherd. And Jesus shows up and says, hi, I'm Jesus. The Father sent me to shepherd you. So listen to my voice. Come to me. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to provide for you. And the gift we have is eternal life. I need you to believe it, because it's all good. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it is. If you won't say it, I will. It's absolutely awesome, amazing. Wonderful. Wonderful. So, the one shepherd, the servant David, the Lord will be the God, and David the prince, he will feed as shepherd. And now we see in John chapter 10, hundreds of years later, Fulfilled. God's word is true, God's word is good, and God's word is to be trusted. So church, this morning, I want you to do something. Now, really, I would love for you to do it all week. I'll take 48 hours if you're a beginner. Trust the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen to His voice, only His voice, and let your cup be overflowing. Do not leave room at the top. Okay? Take the lid off, and I'm just all day. You know when you go to those annoying restaurants? You know, you just, as you're taking a drink of your water, they're just going, hey, let me get that for you. You know, the ones know how to do their job. It's like, I can't drink this much water. I'm getting waterlogged over here. I want more chips and queso. Like, oh, you guys need some water. I mean, just like that. That's how you and I need to live our lives in faith this week. Take some off the top. Take a big drink. There it goes. Get refilled. That's how we live our life. Trust in the voice of Jesus. And let Him take care of you. Let Him preserve your soul. Let Him be what He has said that He is and what He wants to be, the good shepherd. Let Him provide for you. Let Him keep you safe. Let Him guard over you. And let Him fill you with the fullness that God has to offer. And in fact, from that reading from Ephesians chapter 3, and we love it. We love it. More than we can think or imagine. Well, I just don't know how God can fix this. I don't either. But you know what? I'm going to ask Him. Well, I just don't know what the solution's going to be here. I don't either, but I've also been told with man, it's impossible, but with God, Michael, you expect us to live our lives as though with God all things are possible? No, I don't. I'm a lousy shepherd. So I just want you to listen to the voice of the good shepherd this week. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to believe what He says. I want you to reap all the benefits of being in His flock because He is the good shepherd that God the Father promised to send. Sometimes I really wish we were an amen church. But there's enough head nodding that maybe a few of us got it this morning. Because church, this is a good word. And this is how we can start to see and feel and trust and understand that we are beloved. We are taken care of. We are all good. We are running over. The Lord is my shepherd. I really don't need anything else. And now we go and we live it. Now we go and we live it. And I promise you, if you are living an overflowing cup life, people will notice. You won't have to tell them. They will notice. Because there are empty cups all around us. There are nasty cups all around us. So, be overflowed. Listen to the voice of your shepherd. All right? Listen to Him. Don't listen to me. Listen to Him. I'm just pointing you to Him. Go to Him. Listen to Him. Because He's the one that's got it all. He's got all the power, all the promises, all the glory. He's got everything. So quit sitting there going, well, Jesus, if You really are who You say You are, just will You just tell me already? If You are powerful enough to forgive me of my broken past, will You just please do that already? You know, Jesus, if You really are going to fix all of my problems, will you just go ahead and tell me so I don't have to worry about it anymore? Asked and answered, right? Asked and answered. It's done. It's taken care of. Well, not yet. But again, maybe your prayer this week needs to be, Lord, I need eternal eyes. Because I've been living with, you know, I don't know. 51-year-old eyes, which are, you know, starting to strain. But maybe we need to see the way God sees and not the way you and I see. When we see how He sees, we'll trust Him. So if you need to respond today, This is your opportunity. But church, let's just believe what Jesus says. Let's believe what he says and then see what difference that makes. So if you need to respond.